Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm here with Alex, and Alex, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on, Angelo? We have a few things to talk about. Nothing crazy yet. Still very much the dead part of the season, but we have some ODA news. So we can
at least talk about this. I'd say in another month. Maybe two, definitely two, but in another month, things should start ramping up here quickly.
Yeah, because in like around 2 months, people will be getting ready.
Spring training, not spring training. Oh my God. Yeah, preseason.
Preseason. Yeah. But yeah, next month, training camp should start now.
Yeah.
So things should ramp up a bit there. But right now, all we have is the OTAs, and some are even voluntary, if not all. So not a whole lot to go on off right here, but still a few interesting nuggets that could help you if you want to be on par with the NFL news or if you're interested about fantasy football as well, because we'll be talking about some players that maybe this bit of positive news could give you some glimmer of hope if you didn't have them already with these guys and could be a good opportunity to buy or sell if you still don't believe in them.
So what do you think? Okay, so here's something I was thinking about, and this is off the beaten path. So, two really good wide receivers.
Yes.
I think the biggest example I can think of right now is T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Granted, this is rare, but we sometimes see situations where the wide receiver two, the person you consider the wide receiver two in a really good tandem, gets opportunity to become the wide receiver one on another team, or even the same team when that player retires or gets moved. Yes. What do you think are some good possibilities that you'd be willing to like bet on that a wide receiver two could turn into? So like T. Higgins is the prime example because once again, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. Who are some wide receiver twos you think could turn into wide receiver ones in the future that you might be interested in?
Okay. Interesting question.
Curveball.
Who?
T. Higgins is the obvious one because like, I think honestly, if he goes to Tennessee, I think that's a made man right there. Quite honestly,
I'm gonna give you maybe a hot take.
Go ahead.
I do not think that he will be a wide receiver one wherever he goes.
T. Higgins, you don't think so? That's no. I don't know if that's really necessarily a hot take, but
I mean, because we've seen him. Yeah, but we've seen him when Chase has missed time, and I don't think the offense really moved the same. And I understand Chase is a big beast. But I didn't really see him as a wide receiver one. I didn't really see him taking up that role. He sort of just seemed to be the same to Higgins. He didn't really excel or anything when Chase wasn't around. He played the same role. He didn't really give you guys anything different than what he was already giving you. He didn't rise to the occasion. at least in my eyes. Not to say that he isn't a good wide receiver, but I just think that he's maybe one of those guys that excels best as a wide receiver 2 rather than a wide receiver 1.
That's true.
Am I off there, or?
No, I think that's a good, that's a solid take. But so then who is a tandem where you think the wide receiver 2 is hella underrated? So like Jordan Addison. Do you think Jordan Addison is underrated behind Justin Jefferson? And if Jefferson gets moved or?
Okay.
I can't say retire. Yeah. Justin's too young to retire.
Yes.
I'm just going to say retire. I was like, wait a minute.
No, I think that definitely works because I think Addison, if given the chance to be a wide receiver 1, and I mean he was wide receiver 1 for quite a while with the Vikings, and in his rookie season he really showed up in my opinion. He had great games as a wide receiver 1. He rose to the occasion. He produced for that team, and although they did miss Jefferson, I don't think that offense missed that much. And I guess part of and that's part of the reason as to why they haven't really re-signed him to a big long-term deal or why they attempted to trade him, I guess, during the offseason was because they did see something on Jordan Addison as their wide receiver 1. But other than that, I'm trying to look. I think low-key, the one that I'm going to say, and it's very under the radar. This guy hasn't really shown anything yet. And maybe it's just a bit of a biases right here. But I think one guy that will show something this year, and he's wide receiver 2 right now, I think he will elevate himself to wide receiver 1 after the one gets traded either in season or in the offseason. But it's Marvin Mims, the rookie wide receiver that the Broncos... Yes, the rookie wide receiver that the Broncos drafted last year out of Oklahoma, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he's just one of those guys that I love. Just like plain and simple. And that's why I'm saying it might be a bit biased because I was really a big fan of him last season out of this draft. And he's one of those guys that I think can really excel if given the chance. He really didn't have that chance last year. And I understand the situation of why they were trying to trade Judy. They were trying to maybe trade Sutton. So they had to see what those guys had in Sean Payton's first year with the Denver Broncos. So they had to give them the chance to at least see what's up with those guys. But like the way that he usually talks about Marvin Mims gives me hope that he knows that this guy can be special, and I think he will be when given the chance this year, and that will be a big reason why I think they might end up trading Cortland Sutton. I just think he's a pretty good route runner. I think he has great speed. I mean, he ran, if I'm not mistaken, a 4.38, so great speed for him. The size isn't like great, but his production profile in college was awesome. I mean, breakout age of like 18 years old or something like that. Crazy breakout age. Oklahoma, like, usually doesn't give us the best wide receivers ever. But, like, there's trends here. I think they gave us a few good ones in the last few years, if I'm not mistaken. Do you remember the wide receivers that came out of Oklahoma late? Because I remember last year I saw something along those lines.
Oh, no, that's Auburn. I was going to say Trey Lumbergs. Anyway, sorry, go on.
No, dude. I asked for the good ones, man. Come on now.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't think I'm saying anything stupid there. I'll leave it at that. Yeah, but man. I mean, we just missed.
Trey Lumbergs wheels up, man. Trey Lumbergs wheels up this year.
Much like Quentin Johnston, he doesn't have wheels, man.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, as of late, it was it was CeeDee Lamb, if I'm not mistaken, came out of the Oklahoma Sooners. Other ones, the Hollywood Brown as well, came out of the Oklahoma Sooners. One that didn't have as big of an impact, but he's still one of those players that when healthy is usually around and plays well. The Giants wide receiver, Sterling Shepard, as well. I mean, when he is healthy, he usually pans out pretty well for fantasy. Tends to be a decent option at times. I think there's a few wide receivers out of that college that gain some notoriety. And I think Mims is probably the next one. So I'm going to say that one as my dark horse pick. And the other one, I'll agree with you. I think like the most normal answer, I say, the most standard answer is Jordan Addison. Who is it for you, though? Is it also Addison or?
I actually didn't have anyone in mind when I asked the question. I'm not going to write you because it's kind of hard because, quite honestly, two tandem wide receivers who are really good isn't that common. Usually you have a really, really good player and you just go for people who are going to get volume on the offense after that guy. So, like, Gabe Davis is a good example. Stephon Diggs. So, actually, no, that's a good transit. What do you make out of Houston's wide receiver core? Because they have three very interesting wide receivers in Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and now Stephon Diggs. Who would you be targeting? Who do you think is going to be the best fantasy wide receiver out of that class when we come here next year, next June?
Okay, so it's interesting because Nico Collins also just got an extension yesterday.
A pretty big one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it puts him inside of the top 10 highest paid wide receivers in terms of average money per year. So pretty decent extension for him. If it was prior to the extension, I would not have pondered Nico Collins into the question because I think it's just one of those guys that I was never that big of a fan of, and sometimes that takes time to adjust. But when you think about like the contract that he got, that it was just so massive, and we talked about his last season, if I'm not mistaken, or even prior to the draft this year. With Amon-Ra St. Brown, with the fact that he was a fourth round pick, like if a wide receiver got drafted there early, would that impact his value? And we both agreed that it would somewhat impact his value because although he had produced massively so far, he still didn't get that big extension. And it was very much the same with Nico Collins. He had one great year of production. I was never a big fan of his prospect profile. And I was sort of in the limbo in terms of will it pan out or not long time. But I mean, he got an extension that it's a pretty big one. So it just means that the Texans trust him. The Texans want to keep him around. The Texans think that he's a pretty good player. I still haven't checked, but I am on spot track right now. I still haven't checked if it had any sort of outs prior to the, I believe it's a 3-year deal. But I'm checking it right now if it's up yet. Okay, it's not up yet. I'm going to say that the best guy in this wide receiver room is still going to be Nico Collins. Even with Diggs around.
Nico Collins? Oh, interesting.
Yes, but if you ask me which one would I target, I would say the guy that goes the latest in drafts. So I'm not necessarily desperate to try and pay up for the option that I think will be better with the Texans. I want a piece of this offense, but I'm not willing to pay up for it because I'm not entirely certain what to make of this offense. And what to make of this offense yet. I think it's one of those offenses that is a prime candidate for some sort of regression. I mean, you just have one of the best rookie seasons in terms of efficiency by a rookie QB and even a QB in general. I mean, this season that CJ Stroud had in terms of efficiency, in terms of like the low amount of turnovers that he has, it's like it's up there with the seasons that Brady and Rodgers had in their primes. So I don't think he's one of those guys, in my eyes at least. I think there's going to be some regression. I think sure, the touchdowns might go up because, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, around 26 touchdowns. But I also think the interceptions are going to go up because if is interceptions to attempts ratio was so small. It's like it's up there as one of the most elite seasons that we've ever seen. And I think that just is an outlier. Even if he is a good player that I didn't think he was prior to this past season, I didn't like his prospect profile all that much. But even if he is a good player, I just think that, like, it's his second year. I do not expect, like, prime Brady numbers out of this guy. So regression is about to come. So I would just take, like, the cheapest option.
So Tank Dell. Is Tank Dell not the cheapest option out of all this?
He might be, depends on like the flavor of the month in terms of like what people think of Stefon Diggs. Like, that's if true. They think he's washed, then he probably goes latest. Then there's some people that don't think he's washed and he just had a bad season last year. So maybe doesn't go at the last like pick of these wide receivers. So I think right now it might be Tank Dell, yes, but it just depends on your draft.
So how much of fantasy baseball is just getting bullshit? Because I've seen that phrase, you've said, both of us, honestly, have said that phrase multiple times, just get the cheapest person. And quite honestly, get the cheapest person is just hope for bullshit. Like, and eventually, like, if you make enough of those bets, one of those bets will turn into bullshit and you'll prosper.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense when you're talking about, like, such a split room that everyone has their own opinions on these guys. I mean, it just makes sense to go with the cheapest one, right?
Yeah, that's true. So what would you do in a scenario that you have a guy?
Yes.
In fact, let's just use Zach Wilson as an example, since I like beating that dead horse. Zach Wilson. Right.
He's that. He's very much that.
Yeah, no. We've taken him out to the barn and he's not coming back.
But, hold the Eller.
Huh?
Hold the Eller.
Yep. But how far would you go if you had a guy that you really liked? Even if it was against consensus. How far ahead of consensus would you go and take him if you didn't see a path to get back to a position to get him? So, like, let's say you had a top five pick, because Zach Wilson would have needed a top five pick in rookie drafts, in super flex at least. Let's say you couldn't get there. Let's say you had one and you couldn't get back into like four or five or wherever he would go. If you truly believed in him at the time, would you go against consensus, or would you go with consensus and get the perceived best player because he wasn't rated as high as the guy, because Zach Wilson wasn't rated as high as consensus? Like, how far do you take that, quite honestly?
Okay. So I think this question might also stem from the trade that Corey made in the 32 team league, I guess.
Oh yeah, it's nothing to do with that. I was just thinking.
No. Okay. But yeah. it does fit into that same idea. Because one of our league mates traded, he's a big Odunze fan, and he traded AJ Brown. He also traded a second round pick this year, a very early second round pick this year, and a second round pick next year. To go up to, if I'm not mistaken, 105. And no, it was not 105. It was 103, I believe. He went up to 103 and he drafted Rome Odunze as the second wide receiver out of the board. So that's really...
Over who? Nabbers, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Nabbers.
Okay, go on. I like this. I didn't know this. That's spicy. I like this. Go on.
Well, actually, when the draft happened, like after the first round, he said like his wide receivers were Marvin Harrison Jr., Odunze, tier break, Malik Nabbers, if I'm not mistaken. So, and he traded up a lot to get into that spot. And he traded up to a player that I don't like, but he likes. So he is okay with taking that risk. And I'm usually okay as well. I mean, if you remember back in the Ja'Marr Chase draft, like, the consensus pick was never, like, Kyle Pitts as a top two pick, top three pick. The consensus was usually Chase, Etienne, Najee Harris.
Because that's... you don't go tight ends with top picks, Alex. As
yeah, but what did I do? I'm
really trying to teach you.
What did I do?
You said you were going to go with him with your second pick, and I told you to go with him number one. Just yes. For the...
But I spent an entire month looking at every single way possible that I could be in a position.
To get back in there.
Yes. And get one and two, because I couldn't get like four or something like that.
What would you have done, though, if I wouldn't have traded? And I obviously, I would have taken Chase one-on-one, though. But what would you have done if both options were available to you and you couldn't find a way to get back there?
Is that obviously because you were pretty big on ETN?
I think I was. Yes. No. I told, like, before I traded you that pick, I told you the pick was going to be Chase.
Okay. So if I didn't get Chase, and I would have just gotten two, probably would have gone with Javonte Williams.
It's like you wouldn't have gone Pitts, even though you like.
No, because. The idea of going Pitts was just, okay, I got what to me is the best prospect in this draft in Ja'Marr Chase at 101, whatever. As long as I got Chase, that gave me the security to then risk a whole lot in my other picks in terms of like getting Pitts as high as I did instead of just going for an ETN or something like that, or Najee, that at the time was the consensus 101. And it just gave me the security of having that type of guy that he's like, I just knew that he was going to be elite, no matter what. He was just like, I drafted him knowing that in the future he would be in the conversation for wide receiver one, much like what is happening this year with Marvin Harrison Jr. So, but if I didn't have that security of having that great value tied up to a player and knowing that I've hit that pick, because from the moment that I got Ja'Marr Chase, I knew that I got that pick right. Like, there was no doubt in my mind that that was going to go south. That was just a bona fide stud. And that gave me, how do you put it? That just gave me the safety nets, I guess, of then taking the bigger risk on a guy that if he hits, he's going to be up there as one of the most valuable pieces in Dynasty. And just upside alone. Yes, you don't draft a wide receiver top three, top five, whatever. That's just like common wisdom, I guess. But if he does it, and if you do get a Kelce at like 21 years old, yes, if you get a Kelce at 21 years old at that position, that's just like a top five player in Dynasty, period. Because he will give you such a big positional advantage versus the other guys that it's just like it's a no-brainer. But if I didn't got like the safety net of a Chase, knowing that I've gotten that out of the draft that was certain, I probably would have just gone for a running back. And the one that I liked the most in that draft was Javonte Williams.
Interesting. Because I've been one who, like, get your guys, regardless of whether or not it's consensus, whether or not you like them, and obviously try to get your guys in like a reasonable position where they should go. Like, you know, you can have a feel for your league. You know, if someone's a little bit higher on, I don't know, Isaac Garendo, since I, you know, like to bring him up, then pick him a little bit earlier. But if you can get him in the third round and you like him, go for it. Like, that's kind of the thing. You'll never regret picking your guys because they're your guys. It's your decision. It's you made that conscious decision that, yes, this is what I'm doing before you did it. But what you would regret is if you didn't pick those guys and then they turn out to be something good.
Okay.
Even if the chalk guys turn good, I would rather miss on a guy I like than hit it on a guy I don't. It feels a lot better to me, quite honestly.
Okay, but I was going to make that question next because I had the same discussion with Corey the other day, which is, will you take guys that you don't like if they are at the perceived value?
If I have no other choice, yes.
Okay, but like let's say you
trade down.
Okay, you can trade down, but there's a player in the board that is, I don't know, that you maybe like a bit more. And to put names in faces, we were talking about Michael Penix. And okay. He was telling me that he likes Michael Penix. I was never a big fan of Michael Penix. I think that a guy that is as old as he is, with the amount of injuries that he is, and with the deficiencies that he has in his game, I don't think that guy is going to pan out in the league. But I know that I don't know every single thing about fantasy football. And I know that 100%. The QB position is the most difficult one to evaluate. Period.
Oh, yeah.
Not only to me, but also to NFL teams. But what I also do know is that there was one team that thought this guy was the second best QB in the draft. That team drafted this guy inside of the top 10. And reportedly, there were two or three other teams that were trying to move ahead inside of the top 10 to draft this guy because they have the same opinion on him. So my take on Michael Penix is that even though I don't like him, even though that I'm not necessarily certain that he will pan out in the league, there are enough things about him in terms of like where he landed, in terms of how high he went in this draft, in terms of like how highly regarded he is by some NFL teams, that if I'm sitting there top of the second round in Superflex, bottom of the first round in Superflex, when the decision is between the guys that we've talked all along, the wide receivers that are like Ricky Pearsall, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Leggett or something like that, and this decision is between those guys or a top 10 NFL draft QB, like, it's nonsensical to go with anything but the top 10 draft QB. And he told me that.
Here's
like,
the thing. You don't have any faith in those guys. So that's a different conversation. So you aren't a Donnie Mitchell stan. You don't think he's going to be great. You don't like Leggett like that.
Okay.
So,
but I
so
also
in that case, yes,
them.
You're just going BPA to you. You're just going
but
BPA
I also drafted them. Ahead of guys that I think will do pretty well, like Jalen Wright, for example, which I think will be a pretty good running back with the Miami Dolphins. I've said that I think he's going to be the best running back in Miami.
You said that like they're going to be talking about God, you bashed him so much I forgot his name.
A-Chain.
you're saying they're going to be talking about Devon A-Chain who. Like,
yeah, I'm like Jalen Wright as they're talking about the 1-8 chain this year.
If I'm in that spot, I move that pick or I pick Jalen in that situation.
Okay, but I didn't. And
if you really believe that Jalen's better than Penix, yes, I trade that pick.
I 100% believe that Jalen Wright is going to be the best running back in Miami. But I cannot, like, in good conscience, said that I should take a running back drafted in the fourth round ahead of a QB that was a top 10 pick, especially in Superflex, because if they both hit...
Why?
Because if Michael Penix hits, he's just going to be worth so much.
But you don't believe that's going to happen.
But I also know that I'm wrong a lot. So... it's like, what's the best bet here? It's like, do I bet on...
the guy you like.
I just can't get behind that. Like, we like guys over, like, a multitude of reasons. But when you look at the draft capital, when you look at what the teams told you they think about these guys, and I understand positional value, all of that, it's just like the difference in draft capital. We're not talking about a running back drafted inside of the first and a QB drafted inside of the top 10. We're talking about a QB drafted inside of the top 10 versus a running back drafted on day 3. Like, I just, in good conscience, I cannot pass up on the QB. Even if he doesn't work out. Because then it's like, what I was talking about, that teams like them as well, just as much, if not more, than the Falcons did. If he doesn't pan out with Atlanta, then you see the same situation that you saw with, for example, Sam Darnold. That he went to another team and was starting there. Then he went to another team and he was starting there. And it's just like he will have multiple chances to succeed.
But here's the thing. People like Jamarcus Russell. Like, the draft's a crapshoot, dude. Like, so what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? What if you're right? What if Michael Penix isn't anything? And Jalen Wright turns into the running back one by the end of the year. And you were like, you know, if you would have told me this during the draft, it wouldn't have surprised me. But I still picked him anyway.
Yes.
Like, what?
I will just say, to rationalize it to myself, that it was sound process in terms of take the names out of the jerseys. You have a QB who was a top 10 draft pick. You have a running back who was a day 4. You take the QB in Superflex. Just go from that, because we try and outthink this way too much. We think that we're smarter than we are a fantasy community 100%. In general. And sometimes 100%. You need to take a step back and just be like, okay, like, I really think that this, and that. But the NFL is telling me all sorts of different things. Do I really think I'm smarter than all of those guys? Shoot, maybe I am. But if it doesn't pan out, I just know that I'm going to be beating myself over the fact that...
You know, I'm just going to stick with the Oakland Raiders. Homie, the Oakland Raiders selected Darius Hayward Bay with top fucking 10 pick. Like, yes, there are some very smart people in the NFL, but there's also Tony Khan in the fucking NFL executive's office. So, it's a crapshoot, dude.
Like, hey, but I don't really see Atlanta in that boat. Do you?
What, with the Oakland Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, it's complete, like, jackasses. We don't know cheese from ass.
They just fired their head coach!
Yes, you didn't like. No one liked them. No one liked them, so what was that about decision?
They hired the fucker and they kept him around for way too long, is what I'm saying!
Yes, because you know what's worse? Than having like one guy fire him right away. Not that. What NFL coaches don't like is, and I know the Rams were applauded for this back in the Jake Fisher days. It's like what NFL teams don't like is when teams are just, what NFL coaches don't like is when teams are just revolving doors of coaches. So they are one guy 1 year. They move off of him next year. Maybe they were just doing right by the coach. Right?
Anyway, sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I mean, maybe they were just doing right by the franchise in that sense. So they don't get like the tab of being teams that just run through guys. So I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
But here's the thing.
They held on to him as long as
I understand coaches don't like that. But listen, if you build a roster that is a good roster, any moron is going to want to apply to that position, because every coach, whether they're good, whether they're bad, whether they can do it, whether they can't, when they see a good roster, they're going to be like, I can do something with this. That's why the Cleveland Browns had the revolving door, because the roster was fucking shit. They had no one. They had absolutely no one in those late 2010s teams. On those late 2010 teams. Why would you want it? But the Atlanta Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins. They had offensive weapons in Kyle Pitts and Drake London that any coach would be foaming at the mouth to try and coach. They had a decent offensive line. Their defense looked like it was getting better. They had another top fucking 10 pick.
And don't you think it's smart to have a succession plan to a guy who is 35 years old coming out of an Achilles injury?
No, I agree with that.
Oh, that's a sound franchise that is thinking things through, and it's just and it's not making like dumbass picks.
They're right about Penix.
It doesn't. But like, who am I to say that they're wrong?
But here's the thing. They picked the succession plan. They have a 35. Granted, Brady played until he was like 45, dude. Quarterbacks are playing longer than they ever did. They have a succession plan for a 35-year-old quarterback, and the succession plan is 24. Dude! That's not at least a yellow flag to you?
I don't like him for a reason. But if you're putting me in position that like in the early second round, and it's also another point to why I am drafting Penix at times when he falls to the early to mid second round pick. It's like when you're drafting a guy like Penix, so he has all of those downsides. He's going to be behind Cousins for the first year, maybe even the second year. He's going to be behind. He's not going to play at all. He has the yellow flag.
He's almost 24.
Yes, he is 24. All of that. But let's say we are drafting him in the second. So that's all baked into the price, in my opinion. Let's say next year we're at the same exact situation as we are this year. Like, he still sits on the bench. There's still no, like, inclination that Michael Penix will be the starter. What is he worth next year?
Less than he is now.
I don't think so. I think he's worth the exact same. I think you can grab him next year and flip him for a second. Because the people that believe in Penix will still believe next year.
That's if someone who has him who believes in him. But if some jackass like you picked him because you thought it was the right pick and you have no faith in the fucking guy, yes, you're going to be able to get that guy for less than that maybe you think he was worth at that time.
I mean, but that's just the mindset of me.
That's the whole crux of my process.
But if Jalen Wright doesn't do anything,
you know Jalen Wright's going to go up or down. That's the thing.
But let's say both guys do nothing. Michael Penix sits on the bench. Jalen Wright is running back 3. He doesn't do anything. Like, I'm pretty certain that a running back that just lost one of his prime years is going to go down in value. While the QB that people drafted, knowing that he was going to be the backup for a while, is not going to lose any sort of meaningful value. Maybe instead of an early second next year, get a mid-second. Wow, big issue. It's like, it's the same exact thing, the value that you're getting from this guy. You just need to have that mindset of, okay, I'm not going to trade him for anything less than a second. It's like, you set that up, and you're good to go. Like, it is what it is. While a guy like Jalen Wright, or anyone that you can pick in that situation, will just be worth less if they don't do anything. You don't agree. I mean, Corey didn't agree with it as well. Maybe I am crazy. You guys can let us know what you think in Twitter, at No Reserves Radio.
Nice. That's a good one. That's
There you go.
We haven't used this. We haven't used this, but that is not the right one. That is not the right one. But it's okay.
That really
sounded
bad. Yeah, that really sounded bad.
Okay. But regardless, like, you just need to make a roster you believe in, dude.
You think I'm nuts?
I think you're nuts.
Okay. In that 32-team league that I was talking to you about prior to us going live, I had 1.22.
Go for it. Do story time with the audience. Talk about something, Alex.
No. I won't bring in story, the full story.
Story fucking time.
Maybe one day. Maybe one day when we have a special or something like that about the craziest leagues we've ever been in. We'll talk about that one. We'll do story time. But in that league, I had 1.22, if I'm not mistaken, as the Ravens. So I have Lamar, of course. I also got like a later first round pick in like 1.29 or something. So I got Michael Penix at 1.22, and then at 1.29, I got Jalen Wright. So right on the board, I went with Michael Penix.
Yeah, but you also were able to get right.
Yes,
that's kind of the thing. Right. That's kind of the thing. Like the situation is you don't have the way to get the guy you believe in. And now, granted, like there's levels to this thing. Like I'm not saying draft Isaac Grundo 101, but
I mean I could have been sniped. Like it was still like 7 picks, mm-hmm. but there were like Quorum and Marshawn Lloyd as well available. So I sort of thought that Jalen Wright would have
regardless,
been
available. There are times when you want, when you see a value, like see someone slipping and you think that's a value, and there's time to soak in that value. And there's times where you just need to make the pick that you know is the right pick at the time. And you just need to trust your. And that's to me what makes a really good fantasy owner is being able to make those decisions on the fly. Being able to know, okay, it's time to go chalk here, and know, okay, it's time to take a risk here. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Couldn't you argue and that's that how I'm also taking a risk by going Penix, and I'm accepting that if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
You are going the ultimate chalk pick here, dude.
Is it? Okay.
You're like, you just argued for like 10 minutes that, well, I should go with the guy who was selected top 10 over the fourth round pick. No, this chalk. That is the epitome of chalk. Don't even try to say it otherwise.
It's not chalk in the sense of like his ADP is probably lower than that, because people are actually drafting guys who are drafted in the fourth round, in the fifth round, in the third round, ahead of guys like Michael Penix. So in that sense, maybe it's not super chalky.
I think you're crazy.
But we actually had to talk about some ODAs here. And there was one guy that I wanted to bring up because he has been a my guy for a while. You never liked him. But you always have a phrase that is player X who is a bust, wheels up. I'm actually going to use it correctly. And I'm going to use it on a guy that has actually wheels and will be wheels up. But Jameson Williams wheels up. He is now man on a mission, according to Dan Campbell. And he is the most improved player since start of spring.
You just won't let that horse die.
No, this horse. Oh, baby, this horse is going to fly. Like, last year, Dan Campbell wasn't too thrilled about Jameson Williams. Said that he needed to improve on a lot of stuff in terms of, like, catching and whatnot. So it wasn't, like, the shiningest endorsement from him last year. Completely different way this year. Like, Dan Campbell was beaming about Jameson Williams. So Jameson Williams wheels up, baby. Future wide receiver one from that class.
I don't even. I mean, know.
That
I
was my take.
The wide receivers from the class. Wide receivers wasn't it?
Olave, Drake London, Garrett Wills.
You're fucking insane. You're fucking insane.
Jameson Williams, and there was another big guy in that one, but I don't know which one. Drake London, Garrett Wilson. Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, was another guy. I really don't remember. I know in the second round it was Christian Watson and whatnot, but I kind of think there was one other guy that we're missing there that was drafted a bit later, but I don't remember. Look at the draft class. I believe that was 2022.
Wasn't he Alabama?
He was at Alabama, yes.
He was a top 15 pick.
He was a top 15 pick, yeah. Oh, now I remember why I don't know the name of the other guy. It was Treylon Burks. Your guy. See? All is good in the world. So, yeah.
His wheels are up.
Future wide receiver one, Jameson Williams, out of the 2022 draft class. Okay. Speaking of another wide receiver from the 2022 draft class, Christian Watson apparently had some weird hamstrings. So he went to the University of Wisconsin, and the medical researchers in there found a way to mitigate the hamstring issues that have limited him in the past two seasons. So he apparently had less strength in his right leg compared to his left leg, which puts more strain on his left hamstring. So using a device called a Nord board, which I have no idea what that is, he discovered that the strength balance between his hamstrings was around 20% off. So his...
I'm really glad you know this.
Yes.
God, sorry.
So
sorry.
His right leg was around 20% weaker than his left leg, which puts more strain on his left hamstring because it has to carry more weight. Now the difference is right around 10 to 12%, and his goal is right around 6%. So his right leg to only be 6% weaker than his left leg, so that the hamstring issue isn't like a super big issue for him anymore. So right now he's cut off the strength difference in about half so far. And Matt LaFleur was beaming about this. He was talking about how great that was, that he's putting in the work to ensure that he's healthier. He was talking about his strength and conditioning staff being much better this season, which, fuck the last year's guys, I guess. They suck.
They just suck. We don't talk about those guys.
Yeah, we don't care about those fellas. Fuck them. And yeah. So, yeah, that seems like it might be wheels up for Christian Watson, even last season with a bunch of injuries just to his hamstrings. He still led the Packers in terms of air yards share with 33.7% and target share with 16.9%. And he was in and out of the lineup quite a bit. So I think that's last season you loved the stack of Packers. I think this is the stack that you're gonna have plenty of if you're willing to draft Jordan Love high, because he's going at right.
Yeah,
around
it's gonna
QB.
Be higher.
Yeah, he's going right about QB one instead
okay.
of a QB
okay.
QB one. He's QB 10, QB 12.
I could be completely wrong with this. I could be 100% dead wrong, because you know me. I was 100% on Jordan Love last year, you can say I was right.
Yes. I was also right. You know I love Jordan Love.
I think we've gone too far in the other direction, Alex.
Have we though? Like, his ADP is still...
I think we have.
His ADP is still right around, like...
We have people talking about, like, they went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. I think we need to, like, give it at least another season. Like, this was his first year as a full-time starter. He sat 3 years. He better have been fucking ready. I think, and not only that, like, you didn't have a year's worth of tape on him, really. You had, like, four games, if that, on him before the season started last year. I'm curious to see how well he does. And I'm not saying he's terrible. I'm just saying I think the people who are like, yeah, Jordan Love's easily one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, I think maybe... maybe we've jumped the shark a little bit on this one.
Okay, but why? I'm going to be that guy. Why do we say that Justin Herbert, who has never done jack shit for his team in terms of like playoffs and all of that, why do we say he's a top 10 QB? But
because numbers.
Okay, numbers, great. You mentioned that there was no tape on this guy. That's early season,
yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because, okay. From week 11 on, so with 11 weeks of tape on this guy, he was, despite being blitzed at the number one highest rate on the NFL, on 41% of his... Yes, on 41% of his dropbacks. Jordan Love.
Yep.
This
and the offensive line was terrible compared to previous years. Anyway, go on.
Yes.
Yeah.
ERAs amongst QBs from week 11 on. Number one in total touchdowns. Number one in total passing yards. Number one in EPA per attempt. Number one in lowest sack rate and lowest sack plus interception rate. Number one in TD to interception ratio. Second in fewest interceptions. Only one interception, and that's spam. Second in success rate. Second in first down rates. Third in completion rates. And third in third down conversion rate.
Yeah, so, he got stupid hot. Stupid hot. Like one of the best quarterback in the NFL's hot.
Yes, he was up there as the best. If I'm not mistaken, from week 11 on for fantasy football, he was my top three QB.
My question is, was he hot or is this who he is? Because I'm not quite sure of that answer just yet. And this is more of a sample size thing. I'm not saying he can't be that great. I'm saying I don't have confidence saying that it's and pretending it's a fact already.
I don't have
confidence calling him Patrick Mahomes. Like I didn't have confidence calling Patrick Mahomes after the first year. It was after the second year that I was like, yeah, this dude's. So
when you look at the season that he put out, like week one to week eight, this was a rookie, basically. I mean, his EPA per dropback was around 18th in the league. His completion percentage over expected was number 32 in the league. His PFF grade was number 24 in the league. From week 9 to the divisional round, in those same stats, he went from 18th to 2nd, 32nd to 2nd, and 24th to 1st.
That's what I'm saying. Did he get hot? And did he figure it out? And is he that good?
Or he developed, Angelo. He developed. He is a young player.
He developed in 8 weeks what he couldn't develop in 3 years?
For a reason, they have gone from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to
Jordan Love,
Angelo. I am one of those guys. I think.
Oh no!
No, it's funny that you're like maybe we've gone too far on this guy because he's being picked right around QB10. But you haven't said anything about CJ fucking Stroud, who had a much worse season, only 1 year, and he's now QB5, being drafted 40 picks ahead of Jordan Love. But that's okay.
You don't have to talk about that because that's an obvious jumping of the shark. This isn't talked about.
Okay.
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking. Did he get hot, or did he figure it out? There's a huge difference between the two. Zach Wilson had a good game. Zach Wilson got hot for a stretch.
Zach Wilson got hot for a game. Jordan Love got hot for like half a season. Come on now. And let's not forget. Let's also not forget this. Not only is Jordan Love still developing, but his weapons.
100%.
Dontavian Wicks, rookie last season. Christian Watson, second-year player. Romeo Dubs, second-year player. Jalen Reed, rookie last year. Luck Musgrave, rookie last year. What's that guy that I like? Kuntz, I believe that's his name. So, rookie as well last season. So, all the weapons around him are also super young. He is also super young, starting this first season last year. And right, you could see an improvement from
game. He's been on that roster longer than any of them.
Yes, that's true. He didn't play, though. He had no reps.
Yes! He didn't stop it!
He had no reps as a starting QB. He played, like, what, 2 games in the 3 years or 4 years that he sat?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And Jesus Christ, dude. How did it not improve with that much playing time? You're right. My bad. I'm actually shocked that he didn't basically start as QB, as like the best QB in the league, because he played 2 games in 4 years, Angelo. My bad.
I'm just saying the season's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Stroud and Love.
Yeah. Love is still going to improve.
He's 27.
Yes. And he just played his rookie season. Give him time. Didn't someone say, like, I don't know, 30 minutes ago that QBs play until they're like 50 now? I wonder yes. who that was.
Totally. Totally said that.
Okay, great. I think you will be wrong on Jordan Love if you don't think he's worth the price of admission right now.
Okay.
That's just me.
Well, anyway, what's next?
Okay, what's next? Your Bengals. Will you guys have any wide receivers when it comes time to play?
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. Okay. Charlie Jones, wheels up. Okay. Got it. Perfect sense. Both T. Higgins and Jamar Chase are missing OTAs. Well, technically, it's voluntary OTAs, so they don't need to be there. But again, yeah, rumors exactly. that Chase wants a deal. Rumors, not even rumors, but like Higgins wants a deal. And it seems like, at least for Chase, he's playing chicken with the rest of the guy, of those guys, because it's not the
if
only...
If we don't give Chase an extension, we're insane.
You're probably going to give him an extension soon. I'm not entirely certain if he wants that right away, because I would say the same thing about CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. All of them are looking for an extension. None of them have gotten one yet, and it seems like everyone is playing chicken. At this point, I'm not entirely certain if it is the players that don't want the extension, or if it's the owners, or if it's a
Why?
Mix.
Because the players don't want to set the market? The owners don't want to set the market.
No, I think the players don't want to set the market. Because once CeeDee Lamb, for example, let's say CeeDee is the first guy to get the deal, then Jefferson and Chase get the leverage that they want more than that. They want to reset the market. So you're looking at possibly three players resetting the market in a single offseason for the wide 100%. Receiver. And the market is already nuts. So I wouldn't be shocked if, like, owners, GMs, whatnot, are actively pushing to get deals done. But none of them, of the players, of those three big players, want the deal before the other, because I if I'm not mistaken, CeeDee Lamb had a comment similar to that, which was like he was okay just sitting around and waiting for a bet before signing a new deal. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's actually the case. Like, everyone is playing chicken, trying to get farthest away from this as possible and not be the first one to crack in.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Speaking of big name wide receivers, there was one small little report that came out yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, that the Vikings were thinking about doing what the Tennessee Titans did with A.J. Brown a few years ago. That was trading Justin Jefferson on draft day to jump the Giants and get Malik Nabbers. Thoughts on that one?
I mean, they picked the right wide receiver to target.
They did.
They did.
Why didn't that materialize, though? Was it
that's,
like
that's what I want to know. Like, was the asking price for Justin Jefferson too much? Like,
I don't think they would.
And that's the thing. What do you even ask for Justin Jefferson? That's the follow up question. Like,
gotta believe it's that first, because if they wanted to jump ahead of the Giants, then you're looking at a top five pick. Apparently, Washington never thought about moving down. Chicago never thought about moving down. That leaves you with the Patriots. That leaves you with at four. Who picked that four? Why can't I remember who picked four?
Because they were boring, obviously.
I know at they five picked... it was the Chargers. Who was it?
It wasn't
at
the
four.
Titans.
Okay. They picked after. Who was it? Okay, I'll just check NFL draft. 2024. Who was it?
Not the Bears. Not the Panthers. Not the Bears.
Vikings were down. The bad team.
Was it the Falcons? Was it? No, it wasn't the
Falcons. No, Falcons were 9. Yeah. Oh, it was the Cardinals. Cardinals.
They picked Marvin Harrison Jr.
They picked Marv, yeah. So, and they apparently wanted way too much. And plus, I don't think it would have made sense to go with Marv. So they probably tried and traded with the Chargers. Because I don't think they would have traded.
Which I think would have been the right move.
Yes. But again, is it the Chargers saying, we don't think we need wide receivers right now?
Imagine if they did do that and we got Justin Herbert with Justin Jefferson. Like, imagine how hyped both of those players would be right now.
Would feed families. The amount of hope that tandem would have for fantasy football. It's like Herbert, QB1, Jefferson, wide receiver 1. Straight up, all of that to just go, I don't know, 10-7 and missing and losing the first playoff game.
Jefferson would post like a close to 2,000-yard season if that happened. Because here's the thing. Like, Keenan Allen was periodically hurt and he had ridiculous seasons. And I think Justin Jefferson's better than Keenan Allen. Not much, but I think he is better.
I think. Wait. We haven't used it in a bit. Where is it, Angelo?
It might be gone. I had to take a few out. Oh,
it is gone.
It is gone.
What did you do?
Hold on. Can I fix this? Can I fix this in real time?
No need. No need. I'll just tell you. I think you're right, Angelo. I think he's better than Keenan Allen. But the question stands then. Were the Chargers not interested because they did prioritize the O-line? Were they not interested because the price was too high? What's the catch here?
That's the question. I think it might be they prioritized the O-line.
I agree. I think that's it. They really wanted to address the O-line, and they probably had Joe Alt up there in their draft board in general in terms of, like, best prospects. Yeah. Yes, so 100%. They just wanted to keep Joe Alt, keep the pick, not having to overpay. Not overpay, but pay a whole lot for a wide receiver as well, while they're also paying Herbert. They are also not in the best situation cap-wise because they still have Bosa. They still have Khalil Mack. All of those guys are getting plenty of money in terms of cap hits. So they have plenty of big cap hits players. Derwin James as well, getting $20 million in cap hits this year. So not a great situation to get That's Jefferson. Fair. So I guess it might have just been that. But yeah, apparently they were in on Nabers, which gives me some faith that Nabers will do pretty good, because if we look at some teams and they are like tight end you and they are running back you, I mean, are the Minnesota Vikings wide receiver you? Because you look at Stephon Diggs, you look at Adam Thielen, you look at Justin Jefferson, you look at Jordan Addison, they seem to have a finger for the wide receivers, a magic touch for the wide receivers. So, and they like Nabers, so that gives me some hope.
So, are you ready to say Malik Nabers is more athletic than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
No. Maybe. Okay.
That doesn't mean he's a better wide receiver. That doesn't mean that Marvin Harrison
is a better wide receiver. Marvin is a better wide receiver.
I don't think that's true.
Nabers might be a better prospect. Not prospect. A better athlete. But he's not a better wide receiver. You're gonna clip that, aren't you?
Oh, you know I am.
Okay, so I need to somehow delete that. Perfect. Okay, what else do we see here? Okay, oh, I like this one. I wanted to, I guess we can wrap up on this one. If we don't see anything here, let me check just if there's like no crazy other news that we should talk about. We talked about Watson, we talked about Jameson. Minnesota Vikings, TJ Hockenson still doesn't have a timeline for his return from the major knee surgery that he had late last season. So he did not commit to being ready to play. I read a completely different thing. I thought he was saying that he wasn't committed to playing the start of the season, but he didn't even commit to being ready to play for Minnesota's London game against the Jets in week 5. Yikes.
This might be a long season for him.
Yeah, could be one of those guys that just comes in later, starts off slow, just ramps up as the season goes on, but could be a nice target for the playoffs.
I was about to say, but does that not mean that Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison will get more targets? Granted, it should be a diminished offense because Kirk Cousins to J.J. McCarthy, rookie J.J. McCarthy. Or Sam Darnold is a step down. Granted, if there is a wide receiver who is quarterback proof, it might just be Justin Jefferson.
Yes. If he stays. Yes. If he doesn't hold out. That is. That's a big one that I saw here. Just because the name is here. It was Tucker Kraft, the tight end for the Packers that I like, but I didn't remember the name. Tucker Kraft. Okay, other OTA news. There was one last one that I wanted to talk here. But I wanted to just check if there was any other meaningful ones. Rashee Rice is in attendance for the Kansas City Chiefs. First full squad off-season practice. He was arrested, as we all know. There's still not been any resolution in terms of his case. So, he's allowed to attend the OTAs. But it's like it doesn't confirm anything here. So it doesn't say if his punishment will be light, will be severe, nothing like that. Just that he's attending the OTAs. Sean Payton is gassing his guy up, saying that Bo Nix is farther along than most rookies, which he attributes to Nix's NCAA record 61 starts. So the guy started 61 games. He better be farther along than most rookies, since he is also like old enough to be their grandpa. Meanwhile, despite all of this, that he's farther along than most rookies, that he started 61 games, he is still splitting first-team reps three ways with Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson. So, power to you, Bo Nix. You're gonna need it. Your former OC, Brian Callahan, said in late March that he views Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears as interchangeable options. And the running back coach basically said the same right now. So
that makes a lot of sense, honestly.
It's wild to me why they basically got a carbon copy of the guy that they're paying nothing to, but decided to pay the carbon copy 5 times more. So that I'm sure there's a reason for that, but that's what I really like. You know, when I got this one guy that I'm excited about, he's young. His knees are going to fall off very soon because he has no cartilage. He suffers from the same thing as Todd Gurley. You know what I really want to do with that guy for the time that I have him as, I don't know, under a million dollars for a cap hit? What I really want to do is get a guy that is just like him, but maybe worse, for 5 times the amount of money. That's how I'm going to run my team. Fucking idiots. Okay, it's one that we talked prior to the show. Travis Etienne workload might be reduced this season. This was a bit of a news last season as well.
Oh, man.
They wanted to involve Tank Bigsby. They didn't. But they wanted to involve him, which leads me to question, why didn't you involve him more last season? But the answer was apparently because of his disappointing rookie season.
Yeah,
he was shit. So If he is not shit anymore, maybe we have a real competition here. Travis Etienne could be a sell. Like, he's getting to the age, he's getting to the second contract very soon. So it's around the time that you flip him. I mean, if he goes to the next contract and he lost some work this year, you could have missed the window. Right now, he's still a top 10 running back in keep trade cut. You can still trade him for quite a bit. I would at least explore that. Because it's the sentiment is clearly there. They have not found a player that will take away the work. But when they do, there's a lot of smoke that they don't want to have him carry as much as he did last season or the season prior, that they really want to use this guy in, have him as more of an explosive role, but less carries, really take advantage of his explosiveness.
What they're saying is meaningless. What they're saying is absolutely fucking meaningless. And do you know why it's absolutely fucking meaningless? Because it's reliant on Tank Bigsby himself, or their perceived production of Tank Bigsby. So what they're saying is, we want to do this, but if Tank starts off slow again, we're just going to go right to ETN. And that's why that's a nothing statement. That's a nothing statement.
Or could it also be that sentiment is here that they want to have another player to take off the load? Bigsby didn't work last season. They are excited for him this year, all of that. If he shows in camp that he's still the same Tank Bigsby from last season, could it come to a point in which they go ahead and trade for one of those guys? Could they go ahead and trade for Damian Pierce, for example, who is now the backup to Joe Mixon in Houston, who is a guy that actually is a pretty decent running back in the NFL? Could they look at other players like that, maybe trade for them, get them into the Tank Bigsby role, and then it becomes an issue for ETN's carries?
I don't think they're that committed to the bit, buddy.
Okay. I mean, I think there's a lot of smoke that they want to do that. Are they that much committed to that they are willing to trade for a guy and really ease up on ETN's role? You know what would be a fun trade for them that would really ruin the value of two guys? One of them doesn't have a lot of value, but still. What if they trade for Najee Harris? I just want to see some chaos. I have none of Najee. I have none of Travis Etienne. So if I can get chaos that doesn't affect me, I like that. Pick up Najee Harris' 50-year option. Jaylen Warren is there. They like Jaylen Warren. They gave him a lot of work last season. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we'll round it up with this last piece of news, hyping up a guy that I really like in this draft. But I've heard rumbles that a certain lad from Georgia, Ladd McConkey, has lined up both inside and outside during OTAs, the majority of his snaps with the first team. Offense have come in the slot. So he's playing a lot of slot. We love them as a slot player. Team Alex here in the show loves Ladd McConkey as a slot player. Greatest player in the slot ever. It's just the biggest thing ever. And he's already developing a connection with Justin Herbert in the early workouts. So the expectation is that McConkey could step into Keenan Allen's old role as Herbert's slot wide receiver and zone beater. Ladd McConkey, wheels up. That's the show.
I mean, you might as well just say it. In fact, you know what? I'm just going to say something that makes it the title. They didn't trade for Justin Jefferson so they could draft Ladd McConkey.
You know, before when we were talking about this, I was like, yeah, but then they couldn't have Vlad. But I didn't say it because I didn't really want to build up my guy before just saying this last piece of news. But that's exactly it. Ladd McConkey, better than Justin Jefferson?
That's the show, guys.